Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. So I've got a question for you this morning. Are you a tea drinker? You know, as the days turn cooler, do you find yourself brewing a hot cup of tea to keep warm? My mom was a tea drinker. Even in warm weather, Mom enjoyed a daily cup of hot tea in the afternoon. Even when she got a microwave, she still insisted on making it the old-fashioned way by boiling water in her tea kettle until it sang. You know, she had a plaque in her kitchen that read, "Remember the tea kettle. It is always up to its neck in hot water, yet it still sings." Well, we could use that saying as a description of David's life, especially during the time that he wrote Psalm 142, our next sheltering psalm. David is a little like a tea kettle. He is in hot water up to his neck at this point in his life. You see, King Saul was so jealous of David and the success that God had given him and the nation's admiration of him, that King Saul was constantly looking for ways to make David's life miserable. And at this point, King Saul was so overcome with jealousy that he was trying to kill David. So David had to flee the city and seek shelter. After running for his life, David found shelter in the cave of Adullam. And for a while, the people in the village of Nob nearby took care of David. I mean, after all, he was still their beloved giant slayer and all-around general good guy. But when King Saul found out that the people of Nob had given aid and comfort to David, Saul had the entire village slaughtered as punishment and as a warning to David and to others who might try to do the same. David fled to the cave for safety and for solitude while he grieved in guilt over the loss of the village of Nob. But David's quest for solitude in the cave didn't last long, as the details of this account unfold in the pages of 1 Samuel chapter 22. We are told there that many people from Jerusalem joined David in the cave, beginning with his family members, which that wasn't so bad. But then it also included others, not so good. They were described as the distressed, indebted, and discontented. Not exactly a description of a dream team, would you say? You know, you've heard the saying that misery loves company. I'm just not sure that's what David had in mind at that point. But nevertheless, David finds himself in hot water up to his neck, and he does what this man after God's own heart has done before. David tells God in bold terms exactly how he feels. And that's what we see in Psalm 142. David begins by crying out to God. Look at the first couple verses of Psalm 142. David writes, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me." Well, David is grieving the loss of the village of Nob at this point, and he's questioning his own judgment and having allowed them to help him. But David's also feeling alone and deserted, even though he's in a cave with all these people. He's feeling alone and deserted as he writes in verse 4, "Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life." Dr. Jeremiah writes in the book Shelter in God about this particular very sad passage. And he writes this, "We come to the fourth verse of our psalm. In my estimation, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. David writes, 'Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul.' Can you imagine any words more desolate and despairing?" You know, this is the same David who has written that God has always been at his right hand. And if God was for him, who could be against him? But the pit into which his soul is plunged right now is a dark one, and he is more convinced than ever that nobody really cares about him. Oh, they care about what he does for them, for the defeating of giants and the fighting of battles, but they don't care about him. He has turned to his right hand, and there is nothing but wind. That is indeed sad, just desperate and despairing. You know, David knew the depths of despair all the way to depression. Verse 140, or chapter 142, verse 5 and 6 tells us that. Psalm 142, 5 and 6 tells us, David says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. We're told that that wording is depression, desperate need. So listen to what Dr. Jeremiah writes in his book, Shelter in God, about depression. He writes this on page 168. In the sixth verse, David says, I am brought very low. Isn't that what the condition of depression is all about? This is a very sensitive topic for contemporary Christians. He writes, I've actually heard preachers claim that if you're in a state of depression, you can't be a Christian. Real Christians, they say, don't experience depression. Well, my first question for these preachers is whether they've read all the Word of God. How are you supposed to approach Elijah, who was depressed? How are we supposed to understand Jonah, who was depressed? And what about Moses? He too faced depression. Then we come to the matter of King David, a man deeply loved by God, a man of profound spiritual experience and wisdom, who also grappled with depression through his life. It goes on to say that he had allowed his circumstances to drive him inward instead of upward. He had come to fall back on his own resources, and those resources were now spent. The well had run dry. There was nowhere else for David to turn. He no longer sensed the presence of God in his life. But did this mean David was no longer a child of God? Of course not. Believers do indeed enter the dark cave of depression at times, and this is particularly true of those who are godly leaders. You know, I have little doubt that many of us have experienced times of depression, and this passage confirms that it is not sin, but rather a real condition to take before the Lord and at times to seek godly counselors who can help us walk through it when needed. David definitely suffered from depression many times throughout his life, as he wrote. David also felt defeated. Oh, we see that in Psalm 142, the second half of verse 6, when he says, rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Gosh, we don't normally hear David say that someone else is too strong for him. But Dr. Jeremiah writes this, in the grip of his low spirits, David cries out to the Lord. In verse 6, he says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. You know, David turns his focus to his enemies. Like a football player on the losing end of the Super Bowl, he can say only, they were a better team today. That's how David was feeling. So what does a tea kettle do when it's up to his neck in hot water? It sings. And that is exactly what David did. Once he had finished letting off some steam before God, he then praised God and he sang. He says this in verse 7, set me free from my prison that I might praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. He praised God at that point. He remembered and gave thanksgiving to God. Dr. Jeremiah writes, there can be no doubt that discouragement defeated David. There had been a time when he had sent a stone into a giant's head. Now he had encountered a giant that could get into his head. But for the people of God, there is never a pit too deep to escape. There is never a cave too dark for his light to illuminate. And finally, as the scriptures attest, David defeated discouragement. David traveled a path to liberation from the imprisonment of his mind, and he left a map for all of us to follow when we feel hopelessly lost in our despair. We simply need to listen to the word of God. So, what do we do? What are the things that we should do? Well, the Word of God tells us four things that we do when we are discouraged, desperate, depressed, in despair. The first, we are to pray. As Dr. Jeremiah writes, prayer should be a time of no-hold-barred, straight-ahead communication. We cut to the root of the problem, and we're not afraid to name names. And when that happens, we feel a tremendous sense of unburdening ourselves before the most intimate friend imaginable. He is listening. He cares. He responds, and we can tell him anything at all. So the first thing we do is we pray. Second thing, we recognize God's presence is with us. Yes, his presence is with us. You know, David makes a startling realization. All the time he'd been pouring out his heart to God, Dr. Jeremiah writes, God was already at work with David on his discouragement. Every moment David felt overwhelmed by problems, God was busy dealing with them. Every second David despaired over the lack of God's presence, God was right there, as close as ever. As close as ever. There is no cave too dark where God is not already there to meet us. So we pray, and then we acknowledge God's presence. Third, we also acknowledge God's provision. Dr. Jeremiah writes, David said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. David has remembered, as he is praying to the Creator of heaven and earth, that God is his provision, and he now begins to rejoice in the provision that God has made for him. Yes. David has moved from the depths to the heights in these few verses, and he is ready to praise God again. Prayer will do that for us. We can pray our way right through the pressure. We can pray our way right through the sickness. We can pray our way right through the crisis, the losses, and the fears. If we will only come before God honestly, he'll meet the needs in our lives, every one of them. And to that, we can say amen. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth, @spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.